Hey, what's up? It's Mario. Final Approach, another episode and another podcast and video if you guys are watching this on YouTube. Hopefully you've subscribed to the channel and hit us up at the Final Approach channel for hunting videos, the last past season and series, and go there. And we have the last strut. We got turkey stuff, and we're talking a lot about like tradition and respect for the resource and that kind of stuff. That's how I was brought up. That's how I operate in the industry. I partner with people who do the same. Our partners with Federal Ammunition, Weatherby Firearms, with Roger Sporting Goods, Leupold, Saskatchewan Goose Company. When we go up to Tyler's, like, it's all about the resource. It's all about respecting it. It's all about doing all that we can. And I've tried to operate like that in the industry. You know, no matter where I worked, whether it was for Buck Gardner or for Fred Zink, and now at Final Approach. So nothing's changed. Like, I haven't changed at all. I've tried to do the same stuff.
You put on some weight.
Well, I can't try to stay this good looking and then, you know, the girls have to go something, whatever.
Well, you know, duck hunting is a sport. We're all athletes.
Oh, we're all athletes.
The only athlete in my household is my son and the dog.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got right. A dog.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're talking. We got the Viking and Pat Pitt, and we're in Arkansas, and we're just going through lots of great stuff. So the Field and Stream article comes out. You said that blindsided you because you're like,
did it?
So did people just like your phone's blown up or what happened?
Well, that and messages and whatnot, and I'm like,
what are they saying?
In my mind,
Pat, you made it. What? I don't know. What are they
made
saying?
Made what?
Yeah, right. What did I do?
Well, at first I didn't know what it was, and I found it and. In my mind, it wasn't deserved. I'm gonna be honest with you, because I was in big company there with, and I think the reason that, and I know the guys at Field and Stream.
Sure.
They did another article on some of my quotes and trophy room and all that business.
Sure.
That came out in the big issue.
Right.
But it wasn't deserved in my mind. I mean, and I think the only reason. Gosh, I can't say what I'm wanting to say, but
take your time.
The only reason that I got in there was they needed one in the woodpile.
Oh,
okay?
My God.
But I think it was the work that I did with Dave Hall with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Right.
Because when my first son was born, you know, Gail said, you know, I mean, she'd lay in there and, you know, half goofy. She said, well, now you got somebody to hunt with. And I'm thinking, you know, some of the crap I've done, you know, I've got to turn this around. So I've got in the Poachers to Preachers program with Dave Hall. Phil Robertson was one.
He
Ace
was
Cullum,
there.
Dennis Treitler. And we went on a tour, basically.
Sure. Sure.
We went to Minnesota to help raise money for a Bell Jet Ranger helicopter for the Louisiana coast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was trying to put back so much more that I'd taken out. And, you know.
I'm looking for it now, so keep going.
Bless their heart, the editors, you know, for them to include me of that. I mean, it's like, you know, all of a sudden I'm standing between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, you know, with them
yeah.
hugging
You're
each other.
You're in the spotlight. Yeah. Camera's on you.
Hey,
camera's
Mom,
on.
Look,
here's the mic.
No, if it sends a message that somebody bad can do something good.
Then it did it.
Yeah, then it did it.
I'm not Catholic, but it's like, you know, forgive me, God, for I have sinned, you know.
Right.
But was it an honor? Of course it was. Was it expected? No.
Right.
Was it deserved? No. I don't really think so. But I appreciate the print, the ink on it. I mean it.
So tell me why you don't think like you deserved it? Because listen, like if you know if you know waterfowl hunting, you know, it's funny. Somebody said something like to you, don't you know everybody or something? You know everybody.
Yep.
And if you talk to a lot of people, he's like 6 degrees of duck hunting. So are you. Well, who do you know? I know this guy. I know this guy. So it's a small
all interlinked.
World. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you're
it is
in
a community.
And you're in it for a lot of history.
Well, I mean, this is my 62nd year of waterfowl hunting. You know,
you've crossed even a somebody lot of paths.
That, you know, even somebody that walks slow, looks dumb, and acts stupid can pick up something, you know, in 62 years. But, you know, to be in the company of Nash Buckingham, Ding Darling, and, you know, good Lord, you know, that's like Jesus Christ and the apostles. I mean,
you're in there.
You're in there.
But it's...
I mean, the list, you know, we did a podcast on the list, like we talked about it, and the name to me was off a little bit because... It was like best waterfowlers or whatever, but there were so many guys on that list that were more like creating something or doing something in the waterfowl industry.
Yeah.
Whether it was a choke tube or you know, the calls, the silhouette decoy, you know what I mean? There was so much more. And what we had done a podcast on and talked about it was more of like the waterfowlers that we looked up to that changed the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Tim Grounds and Butch Reichenbach and Fred Zink, and you start going through all these names.
The Haydells.
Yeah. Buck Gardner. Like, you go through so many of those, and there were so many of those guys that they left off the list. But Grounds was on it. Latchaw was on it, who created the layout blind. Like, there was some of those guys on it. And a lot of probably younger people maybe didn't know all those. Yeah. That was a lot. It was a good history lesson.
I look at Fred Kimball. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Fred Kimball was one of the godfathers of chokes.
Okay.
You know, tighter chokes kills birds further out.
There you go.
Fred Kimball was up in Illinois and whatnot. There's a lot of them.
So let me ask you this, because we talked about this. Who do you think should have... Who'd they miss on the list, like, that you know?
Besides some of the ones you mentioned, like Freddie and...
Yeah, who do you think? And I'm not saying they missed, whatever. You can only do so much in an article and miss that. I'm just saying, is there anybody that you would want to put on that?
Yeah.
I want to hear it. Because we talked so long about this.
I'd put Dr. Chubb on it.
There you go.
I'd put Chris Aiken.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And George King. I mean, they're like Siamese twins. I mean, they've been together... For a long time, but there's some guys that really should have been on that,
right?
But they only have so many pages to put.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So we're just adding pages. So let's add some more pages.
We can. Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick two waterfowl hunters in this area that aren't family, mm-hmm. like my kids.
Right.
Or somebody that lives up in the North Pole of godforsaken Atlantic.
Right.
Where they eat Schnitzelgruben and all that. So. But it'd be Chris and George. And yeah. Mike Roach, you know, he's in it. I mean, but.
Now, George King is.
George King's a heavy equipment operator.
Okay. He's a member of Chris Aiken's club.
Okay.
The Red Lakes.
He owns his own company.
Okay.
I mean, half his duck pits in the ground he put in.
Right.
All these levees, he's got a long reach track hole parked right down here on the Langille River, and they're digging out the ditches to allow the flow to come through where it won't silt in.
Right. He's the guy that keeps things moving.
He certainly does, and he's done so much work with levee improvements and all
there
that.
There you go.
And Chris is, at one time, and I still think it's true, he's trained more HRCH master hunter dogs than anybody in the country.
Right.
You know, he's got two kennels. His first dog, Boomer, won the first SRCS. I could have had Boomer.
Yeah.
When I needed a dog, when I had to put Clipper down, And I called Chris and I said, I need a dog. I want a Finnish dog. I want one that's as psychotic as I am about waterfowl hunting. And he said, well, come on up here. I got two.
Okay.
And he had Boomer and he had Ace. All right. Boomer, the only reason I didn't pick Boomer was he was a year older than Ace. And I figured.
You get another year.
I get another year.
Sure. Yep. I get it.
And I hunted Ace till he was 13. But, and of course, Chris just had them finished tuning them up and whatnot. And of course, you know, Ace is, I hate to put some of my dogs, you know, behind him, but he's probably the greatest dog I ever had.
There's always one, so it doesn't matter. Well, and it's no disrespect to the other ones, because.
No disrespect at all to all of them. But he picked up over 8,000 ducks for me. And that's not guiding hunting either.
That's just hunting. That's
here
just
at
hunting.
The club.
And, but he went on and took Boomer to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And he could have done the same thing with Ace, because Ace was one of the best marking dogs I ever had.
Yeah.
And
he was amazing.
And handling and whatnot. And
right.
He and I thought a lot, you know, but, and every time I'd lose a dog or have to put one down, I'd tell Chris that I'm done. Don't want to do it again. Don't want to go through the heartache and whatnot. And he said, well, hey, come on over here. You got a dog you want to see.
He knows you better. He knows you better than you know yourself.
Well,
yeah.
The same thing with her. This is the first female I've ever hunted. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, me getting on the same wavelength with a female dog is like getting on the same wavelength with my wife. You know, I got to learn how they think. But she's, you know, she's dual titled. I mean, she'd do anything that I want her to do.
Yeah, for sure.
She hunts good.
And, Cole, another dog that Chris trained, Dewey, he had Josie Stevens, the first dog, a lot of them, Patrick's first dog. You know, it's just, they're such a part of my life.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't put a price tag on what these dogs are worth to me.
Too bad it's only a 60-day season for them.
Yeah, for them.
Thank God for the ducks.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I know everything's froze up out there, but I'll go because she wants to go.
For sure.
You know, at least that's the excuse I use.
Yeah. It's all right. You can use that. I've used it. You know,
right.
The dog wanted to go, yeah. So we're going to go.
But we're talking about the list, and yeah. We're talking about dog trainers. So, Richard Walters.
For sure. Everybody, you if know, you don't...
I think Chris Aiken and Richard Walters are the game changers in the...
Well, Chris, he's hunting a golden right now. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And Sugar Ray was dual titled at a year old. He won't even be two until like May.
Yeah.
And,
good dog's a good dog.
Well, he trained two goldens for George. And because George liked goldens. You know, I always call them swamp collies, but I mean, hell, I'd let Sugar Ray ride in the front seat of my truck any day.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing dog.
Listen, there's so many dogs. There's so many different ways to train, this, that, and the other thing. So going back to Walters, like my buddy Kevin, who's just a young kid, got his first dog. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
He's like, what do I do? And I said,
hand him the book.
I said, get the book.
Yeah.
And he, you know,
well, there's
the
videos.
Book was for sure.
There's good videos out now. Chris has got some. Freddie King has
for
got
sure.
some.
Yeah,
and
Freddie sure does.
You
sure
know,
does.
It's just, you see these, gosh, you see some of these craziest posts on the duck hunting, Arkansas duck hunter, Utah duck hunter,
right.
Whichever one, you know, which topwater plug do I need to use to retrieve my ducks with?
Yeah. It's a black one.
That's what. But no, it adds such another dimension to the sport of waterfowl hunting. You see a dog out there busting their ass, you know, trying to get a long running or swimming cripple.
For sure.
They save you so many birds.
There's no doubt.
You know, the first lab I ever had was a son of King Buck. And
wow.
King Buck was a legend.
For sure.
The only dog to ever appear on the federal duck stand.
That's right.
But
Well, and that guy was on the list who owned King Buck.
Huh?
The guy who owned King Buck.
John Olin.
Was on the list.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But.
Which dog was that? The one you had, the first one?
That Big John. That was back in 1963.
Wow.
I had a woman that was a, would come in a grocery store, a doctor's wife, and she heard me talking to one of the other sack boys about duck hunting. She says, we've got a lab we need to do something with because he's eating the neighbor's dogs or whatever it was.
And he was just a big dog?
Oh, yeah. He was. He, his name, Big John, was...
For a reason.
I didn't even know how to train a dog, nor to work a dog. My dummy was an old tennis shoe that I'd throw. He'd jump a 4-foot fence in the night to the neighbor's yard to get that and come uphill, jump it back. And we started duck hunting together. We learned trial and error.
Mm-hmm. I did the same with my first dog. That was mine. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was away from home. I didn't have my dad to help me train. Like, I didn't have anything. I was on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, he wasn't great. You know, he got all the ducks. He learned as we went through it.
He was the best dog you had every day that day.
100%.
But here's the deal. It costs just as much to feed a good one as it does a bad one.
That is facts.
Oh, yeah.
That is facts.
I mean, you know, it's just, and, you know, do you want to drive a 1963 Chevrolet pickup truck or do you want a Z78?
Yeah, you want holes in the floorboard or you want it shiny? Like, what do you want? You want something dependable or not?
Well, I don't have to worry about what happens when a duck goes down.
Right. No.
Because she worries about it.
That's right. I mean, that's her job.
Steven's got a young lab now that he's going to make a nice one. I mean, he's got a motor with a turbo on it, and he's marking good. Lights are coming on every time he goes out.
That's right.
Ooh,
learning.
This is neat.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, he's making some fine marks, and he's going to make Steven a really nice dog.
Yeah.
Patrick's hunting a dog now that was given to him by the wife of one of his best friends. It was a crop duster that died in a crash. And you never know that dog's there until the duck's on the water. And we were the other day... You know, he was up on a ditch bank because the mallards were being screwy. And, you know, we hear Patrick, you know, good boy, because the dog had caught a cripple in swimming water.
Right.
In a rice field. But,
right.
You know, I can close my eyes and see so many retrieves and so many memories, and I can, yeah. I can see more of that than I can.
Of the birds dropping.
The actual ducks dying.
Yeah.
Okay. We hunted this morning, we shot a 6-man limit.
Yep.
All right. Teal and Jax, and it was fun. And Jason's dog was, I mean, an
great.
Absolute tank.
Yep, yeah,
there.
Sure.
Every swim was
a long swim. One. Yeah.
Had a bunch, you know, the wind was blowing, it was raining.
Right. Yep.
We had ducks, you know, that were 30, 40 yards were close to trees.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that wind and rain was carrying him out, but when that dog, he's hell on wheels.
Oh yeah,
it's a big dog too.
And you never hear him.
No.
I laid him in the blind this morning. He ran through the blind, went down, sat on the dog ring.
Knows exactly where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's done that deal before. Yeah. So
it's not his first rodeo.
No. And the good ones, they learn as you learn, they learn. You learn stuff from them, they learn stuff from you, and hopefully you're both getting better as the year goes on, every day.
Well, it's on-the-job training.
Yes, it is.
And I tell people, you can't teach experience to a dog.
No.
You can have them all trained and spiffied up, but until they get on-the-job training, you know, that's what makes your dog. As long as you've got him under control.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And control is a big factor. I see so many videos of guys duck hunting, goose hunting, and birds are falling, and the dog's out there calling for a fair catch. I mean, it's embarrassing. I've hunted with guys up in Canada that had a Chesapeake. It wouldn't even pick a duck up. He'd walk out there and smell it and turn around and come back. But at least he told the guy, I said, well, at least you know where the bird is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's a pointer. I mean, hey, there it is.
Yeah, it's right there. Go pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to get my mouth.
That's a good one.
I don't like feathers.
Yeah. So,
well, there's no bad dogs. There's just bad trainers, is what I was told.
Exactly.
And is that? Exactly. I mean, a lot of people have said that. And listen, the on-the-job training stuff. You can go and train your dog. Everything you go through, any kind of scenario that you could think of, but there are so many scenarios that happen when you're out hunting that you cannot train for.
You can't simulate it.
No.
We had one in our club, but we had one dog right over here got killed, broke in front of the guns on a flock of teal.
Oh.
And they took the back of his head off. And
nobody wants to see that. I don't want to
be around something like that.
I don't either. No. I don't want to see that. That'll be terrible.
But does it happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing, too. And I tell this to people. You go get a lab puppy. Your wife and your two kids and your mother-in-law and your mom and your dad. Everybody falls in love with this puppy.
For sure.
Well, it turns out to be a biscuit eater. All right? But everybody's too attached to it to get rid of it.
Yeah. And you're stuck with it for the next 13 years.
Yep. Yep. Go buy, if you're serious about it, save your money, pick up aluminum cans up and down the road, whatever you need to do.
Right.
Get you a started dog, at least start it. That way you'll know if it's got good hips, eyes, EIC clear, everything that goes with it, you know it's structurally sound, and you're going to spend the same amount of money as you would on this little puppy.
Yeah, food, shots, doctor's visits, like all that, right, training, right, all that. Well, and then you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You have a clearer picture of what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You
know. Don't get one of these designer dogs either.
No.
You know, Labrawiener.
Labradoodle.
But you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
There's too many. Yeah, we've got yellow labs here in the camp. Chris Aiken just had to put down one of the best yellow labs. The best yellow lab I've ever hunted over.
Right.
Finn.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got more titles behind his name than, you know, God's got green apples, but it's, you've got to go with odds. You don't roll the dice on a dog because this is going to be your companion.
That's right.
This is going to be your wingman. This is going to be your,
he's going to save your ass more days than not.
The only time when I had Ace, we used to shoot a lot of geese just standing in the camp house yard.
Yeah, right.
So we'd get a good wind or clouds or fog or whatnot.
Right.
And we'd stand out there and shoot geese, and I'm talking, we killed quite a few.
Yeah.
You know, we'd bounce them off the roof and everything else, but shot a goose that went down with the wingtip broke, and of course they can go several hundred yards before they run out of lift. And he ran out there and picked it up and came back, and as soon as he crossed the road here, I saw him limping. And he'd run a beanstalk up through his into his between his pad and his toes. And long story short, he was out of commission for almost a week. Well, I got a rent-a-dog from Chris.
Right.
And then I had to get it back to him. The only day I hunted without a dog that year, I shot a limited ducks and a limited specks, and every bird I shot fell crippled in a bean field. And having to truck my fat ass out there running all them things down in a bean field.
Worst day ever.
I got back to camp house. I said, I'm going to quit duck hunting unless somebody's with me with a dog. And I don't mean just a dog. I mean a dog.
A retriever.
Yeah.
Well, I can say that the worst season I ever had was when I lost my second dog unexpectedly right before the season, and I did not find a dog or anything that I liked, and that season was the worst season I've ever had.
Yeah.
Shot a bunch of birds, traveled, did whatever. Shittiest season I've ever had because it's not even the stuff that you're talking about. Like, I had to go out and get the birds. I had to pick them up myself. I had to do whatever. I know I lost a lot of birds because I had to rely on, you know, at my duck club, I had to rely on somebody else's dog, which is
a lottery.
Snake eyes. And they're not into it as serious as I'm into it, or the level that I try to train the dog or try to do whatever, or what, you know, it just was an awful season because I just didn't have them with me.
I'll invite people to hunt time to time that either pester me so much that I just want to bring them and shut them up and leave me alone.
Right.
But one of the first questions a lot of them will ask me, can I bring my dog? All of a sudden, red flags are, right?
I know.
I said, well, is he steady? Most of the time.
Nope, that's a no. I'm good.
Is he trained? Yeah, pretty good. He can get a dummy as far as I can throw it. And I'm like, you know, I keep trying to think of, you know, some scenario to not be gruff and blunt to the point. And I generally just say, no, our club rules is club dogs can only hunt. That gets me out of it. But
well, listen, my place, my dog.
Yeah.
If I invite you, it's just you. It's not a plus one. No offense. No disrespect.
Yeah. I've had that happen.
Oh, God. It's like when Delta was too old to hunt, and the dog that I have today, Lotta, was too young to hunt.
Right. You were in between.
I'm in between, and I'm like, I need to go hunting. So we get a thaw, and guess what? I go to the hellhole. The hellhole greets me, and I drive in there, and there's birds flying everywhere, and I'm like, this is going to be good. I went twice to the truck to open the kennel, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a dog. I threw out the decoys, drove my truck out, sat down. Not 10 minutes passed, a single duck comes flying, and I shoot it. It landed in high grass, and I saw it. It was alive when it went down. Lost it. Couldn't find it. I searched and searched and searched. I had that spot. Exactly nailed down.
Yep,
well, sit there for another 15 minutes, another duck comes in, and I boom, shoot it. It goes down not far from where the other one went. And I'm like, I've got you figured out. 10 minutes later, I'm picking up decoys, driving back to the house.
You're done.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm never doing this again.
Exactly.
People that don't hunt with a good retriever have missed half of what waterfowl hunting is.
Exactly. And, you know, I have said it 1,000 times when we're talking together, you know, texting or on the phone. I said, if I can't have a dog, I'll take up golf.
Yeah. Well, the first, I used to shoot Memphis Retriever Club, Amateur Retriever Club. I used to shoot flyers for them in field trials. And I'm talking licensed field trials.
Yeah.
Where the big boys were running.
Yeah.
And I can remember seeing some of these dogs, and I had never seen
those kind of dogs.
This,
that's right.
You know, that were titled, you know, FC, AFC, whatnot.
The top of the line.
And I'm like, gosh, dog, that's like looking at a Cadillac in a demolition derby. I mean, they just stand out. And I remember one dog, and it was a yellow dog, actually. The grounds out there, all the hills are terraced,
right?
So they won't wash out.
Yep.
And I mean, it's jump and jump and did. And this, it was a hard, we had a long flyer that was, had a triple with a long flyer, okay? And the flyer was a go bird, and I shot that, it was a pheasant. And I mean, I shot that pheasant real good. I mean, it exploded out there. And this guy sent this yellow lab at it, and the dog was going angles down these terraces, just
hammering it.
The dog got offline 5-10 yards, and when he was jumping from one terrace to the other, the guy blew the whistle. The dog spun in midair and sat down looking at it. And I'm like, gee.
Wow.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
But it was...
remote control.
Boy, I mean, but... There again, people that don't hunt with
a retriever,
a good retriever. I mean, there's couch dogs and backyard bred dogs, dime a dozen.
Sure.
And they'll get the chicken.
Yeah.
But you might have to go through hell and half of Georgia and every cuss word you know.
Right, to get it.
To get it.
Or throwing live shells at it to make a splash so they can get it.
I've seen that. I've seen that happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen a box of shells go in the water before, you know. But, no, it's just add this to your repertoire of being a waterfowler and get a good dog.
Sure, for sure. It's a tool. But it's a tool and a partner for sure.
And take care of your dog.
It's not an accessory. It is.
It is an essential tool.
Yeah, it is.
Take care of your dog. Don't run a dog through 2-inch thick ice because you think it's macho.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care of your dog. They look to you for help. And one of my veterinarians said, you'll know when it's time to put one down.
Unfortunately, you do know.
For help and to get out of this pain. And a dog doesn't plan on tomorrow.
No.
They live for the moment.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
So, Rudyard Kipling said, you know, the worst thing that, I forget how it, I'd have to paraphrase it, you know, is the worst thing about a dog is having a broken heart at the end. Yeah. And, I've shed tears. Whew.
Oh, it's.
She's my last one.
That's bullshit.
I quit. She's number 9.
I think I'm hearing this for the third time. I remember Cole.
Number 9, that's
Dewey, and now her. I don't think that you've reached that point. You're only 77.
Yeah, you got more. You got more gas in the tank there.
Well, you know, it's, God gave me a break where I could meet my grandkids.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What happened in 2011, if it hadn't worked out, I wouldn't have met any of them.
Yeah.
But you killed a black duck that day. That was a shining.
That was a shining. That was my first time here. And I vividly remember, you know, coming to the airport, Stephen picked me up, Stephen and Patrick both picked me up. Drove that back to Pat's house. He's sitting in a recliner. He had all these compression socks on. And he's just looking like, you look like a dead guy, you know, to be honest. And
this is all after the heart attack.
Yeah, that's after the heart. And that's the first time I was here. So he's like,
death eating a cracker.
Yeah. He's like, stop goofing around the house. Take him hunting. You know, go to camp. And we're like, okay. So Patrick and Steven asked me, do you want to hunt this afternoon? Yes.
Yeah. You don't have. If they knew for an ounce, they don't have to answer that question.
So we were on, Riley West, in the stubble on the north end of the field, and I have a vivid picture of. They borrowed me waders because I didn't bring waders, but I had all the other shit. Right. So, and I just didn't have luggage room for waders.
Well, yeah, it takes.
It was neoprene, and they were like, that was my baggage allowance, a pair of waders or a suitcase.
Yeah.
So I'm laying there in a layout blind, leaned up against a levee. Stevens on the right of me, and Patrick's on it, and Steven says, whatever flies by, whatever duck flies by, you know, you don't have to wait for a go from us. We'll just shoot it. And a pair of mallards is swinging in front of us, and there's some birds on top. And I'm just getting ready to sit up and smash that drake when I hear black duck, black duck, black duck, black duck, black duck, black duck. And I'm like, what? And I'm looking up, and I never saw the black duck.
Okay.
So I never saw the black. So I'm just laying on my back. The water's funneling down the back of my waders, and it was cold. We were on ice. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this needs to end right now. And that black duck drake, they started calling him, and he kind of spun out of the flock, but he was going to go up again. And they both went up and shot it. And I leaned back, and I saw that green head, and I folded it. And I have a vivid picture of that green head going down, the black duck going down, and the backdrop was that water tower over there that you see over there.
Yep.
So every time I think about that place, I see two ducks in the air falling, just going down, and that water tower. So the day that water tower disappears, this place is not going to be the same.
You know, that water tower has never been used.
It's never been used. That was supposed to become a little
it was going to be a little community.
Little township.
And now nothing.
I keep wanting to climb up that and paint a big UT on it.
Yeah.
Or Vols or something, you know, because all these Razorback fans around here.
Both Patrick and Steven never saw that. They were so stoked about that black duck.
Sure.
They never saw that greenhead fall. And they're like, what duck?
You killed another duck?
What duck? And I'm like, it's on the levee behind there just by the black duck. And they're like, no, we already picked it up. I said, no, there's a greenhead right there. And Steven walked over there. He's like, well, I'll be damned. Never saw it. So
well, they were focused.
My first Arkansas duck.
When the kids were young, when they were first starting to hunt, the first black duck they ever saw, I shot it out from under them. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry, boys. I said, but that's the rules when a black duck shows up here.
You got to get
you
it.
You shoot it.
You know, if you would have, if you could have, you should have, you better.
Yeah, right.
No ifs and buts, just that's boom. Right.
Just get them.
But Dad, yeah.
Well, sorry.
So you're that's dog number 9. You're on how many?
3.
3. I'm on 3, but my dad had 2, so I won't claim those 2. But both those dogs I treated like my own for sure. Mm. So yeah, I'm on 3. So
yeah. And it didn't take me long to realize that, well, one of my buddies, Helgi, he had a black lab that when I saw that bird, we shot a goose, we jumped a goose somewhere.
Yeah.
And crippled it, and it flew out into a lake and just dropped in the middle of the lake. Not a big lake.
Yeah.
And he
sent him.
Took the dog out, sent it for it. And I was like, okay, I need an employee like that.
Yeah. Well, hell, you were sending dogs out to pick up seals.
Yes.
How many people have done that?
Yeah.
Not a lot of people, but still, there's still today people hooking, you know, contacting me on the internet, you know, on Messenger today, asking me, do you have pictures or a video of your dog retrieving those seals? And I'm like, well, here you go. I'm sorry, but I owe you an apology. I called you a liar. Now yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, I remember at SHOT Show in 2009, like you were saying, and I remember meeting you, and then I said, hey, do you know this guy in Iceland who I said it can't be that big of a place. I said that shoots seals and then his dog goes out and gets them. And you go, that's me.
Yeah.
And I go, well, how about that?
Well, you flew down here to buy a dog sight unseen for your buddy up in Iceland.
Yeah.
From Chris.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Finished lab.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Pretty decent dog, isn't it?
He is a super dog. Super dog.
Well, Chris has never... The thing about Chris compared to a lot of other trainers, if he sells you a dog, it ends up being a washout. He stands behind.
Yeah.
And he'll make it right.
Right. Yeah.
I told Chris, I said, this dog's up in Iceland. You better hope it works out.
Okay. Yeah, because that's going to be a little bit of a bill to... Get another one there and take this one back or do something for sure.
Yeah. No, he's a great dog.
Yeah.
I see him every once in a while. The guy brings him to the office. Wow. He's big bodied. He's kind of like Chase from this morning. You know,
big.
Long legs and long body. Not heavy, but, you know, just big. You know, athletic.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings now that you brought up the long legs and whatnot, but I'm not a real big fan on British dogs. Because most of them I've seen are squatty.
Yeah.
With short legs.
Sure.
Good dogs.
Yeah.
If you're picking up a red grouse or whatever.
Yeah.
But we want a dog in this area that's got legs.
Yeah. Get them, get their.
We're running them through anywhere from 6 inches to a foot of water.
Yeah. And they're running.
And just keeping the body out of the water.
Yeah, it is that. And it's saving wear and tear on them.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller dogs, right.
And we've got a couple of guys that got Boykins.
Yeah.
Think, Pat, don't say anything stupid. But they're cute.
Yeah.
And they'll get the chicken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they look like a floor mop when they come in from the first retrieve. I mean, they're soaking wet, you know. In some of this weather that we're getting.
It's tough,
I mean,
for sure.
Freeze, but I mean.
Well, even the Goldens, like I always say, like like, God, you better hope to God he doesn't run through a briar patch and come out with stickers, because, man, you're going to have, like, you're going to be at it all night.
Yeah, well, with a picture comb. Somewhere of a dog that got a golden that got into Cuckleburg.
Oh my God.
Oh, I mean, it was awful. But
oh, Chris, brutal.
We were hunting during when DU was down here filming, and Sugar Ray got so much ice on him, you know, and Chris is one of the big blinds we're in, got four heaters going.
Right.
And I'm talking about heaters that.
Real heaters, yeah, big ones.
And, you know, we had to get Sugar Ray in there to get some of that ice thawed off of it because it was hindering him.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But, you know, there again, sometimes you got to call time out and take care of your dog.
Oh, yeah. But that coat right there is 100% adapted to running water away from the body. And not, you know, not accumulating water on the coat. So
she'll come out of the field. Well, the other day when we hunted, she came out of the field basically dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for her legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she did some retrieves that day. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I can say I've witnessed hypothermia, because 2 years ago, mine got it, and it wasn't...
Water tail?
No, full on. Like, he was almost drowning.
Swimming and just stopped swimming.
He was the only dog, and of course the guys there were just, him and I are just chasing cripples, and it's 40 degrees maybe, and it's cold, and it's not, you know, what I've learned from that is it is not the temperature, it is the time in the temperature.
Water. I had the same thing happen with Ace down on the pan field, that, you know, the field was rimmed with ice. I mean, it was cold, and we'd broken holes out the day or two before.
Sure.
You know, the wind was pushing
deeper water.
Deeper water.
So he was in it.
Almost swimming water in that.
He was in
deep rice field.
Yep.
Rough ground, and we know we couldn't keep the mallards out of there. And,
sure.
And Ace was like, pick up a duck, come back, go pick up a duck. You know, running triples,
sure,
and everything else. And he picked up a duck and came back, and he's kind of wobbling coming down the levee, and he jumped in the pit, and he just went all four legs out like that.
Yep.
I knew what had happened, but I wasn't paying attention to it coming.
I wasn't either.
My fault.
I didn't see it, and I didn't know. That's the first time. So the thing that I know now is I know the signs. I did not know the signs before. I could see him whining a little. It was a different whine, like it was different. And then I sent him, and he was like, and I'm like, that was weird. And going out, I mean, what did it for me is I actually went out to help him look for a cripple, because there was so much cover and corn that I'm going through. And as we're coming back, he goes underwater.
Yeah, when they stop.
And I grabbed him up, and I go, what in the hell? I get the bird, and I'm like, come on, Bubba. And then we're coming back, and he goes almost under again, and I that was it. I freaked out. I grabbed the dog. I grabbed the side-by-side. I threw him in. I took my coat off. I put it around him. I ran to the duck shack. I put him on the floor. I started jamming food in his mouth. I wiped them all down. I got the truck on, heater on as high as you can go, sit him in the front seat, and I'm just pumping him, and I'm on the way to the vet. And I'm like, and I'm flying. I got my four ways on, and I don't give a shit if I'm getting pulled over. I'm going to the vet. If I'm going to get a ticket, I'll get it at the vet when I get there. I call ahead. I tell them what's going on. And I get there, and I walk him in. And at this point, the heat's kind of circulating back, and he's like, you know, he's kind of with it. The thing that really freaked me out was he was having seizures.
Yeah.
Which was the wildest. I thought, I'm like, he's dying. I'm freaked out. So I'm going. I get there. And by the time I get there, you know, I called ahead, and he's there. And the lady vet comes out, and we get him back. And she's checking his temp and doing whatever. And she comes out to me. Now, this isn't, you know, we're not in Arkansas. You know, I'm in a section of Oregon. And the lady comes out, and she's like, she doesn't deal with gun dogs, right? This wasn't my vet. This was the only one that was open, and I had to hustle to it, and the closest. And she's asking me, I'll never forget, she's asking me if I feed the dog. You know, because it's January, and he's at his lowest weight, no matter, he can't keep weight on, no matter how much I feed him, right? So you can see his ribs, you know what I mean? And but he doesn't look bad. He just, you know, they just don't know. And I was like, I'm like, listen, this is my hunting dog. Like, I pump calories into him like there's nobody's business. And I said, it's the end of the year. And I'm like, I can't keep enough weight on him. It is what it is. So, you know, she's like, his temperature's back up. You know, he seems to be, you know, and at this time, you know, he comes back out, he's just as chipper as all could be. But, but man, the signs, I didn't see them, but I know.
When they stop moving their legs, they go under like a submarine. They just sink.
So I know now.
When Ace went down, when he was coming back with this last duck, and I mean, we were five of us in the pit. And I mean, we were close to a five-man limit of mallards. And I saw him kind of weaving. And when he got down in the dog box, you know, he just spraddled it.
Losing his legs.
And I was a quarter mile from my truck. I got on the phone and I called Chris. I said, are you back at the lodge? And because Red Legs Lodge was 2 miles from where I was.
You were lucky.
I said, you got your Argo? And he said, yeah.
Come.
I said, I need you to get to the pan field. I said, Ace is hypothermic. And I had taken my coat off and covered him up. Chris and them got down there and we had to physically lift him out, you know, put him in Argo.
There's no doubt.
Went and got him in my truck, turned the heater up to the third floor of hell, and headed to the vet. Of course, they started running warm saline IV.
Right in him.
Had him with hot pads and electric blankets around him.
Yep.
And 30 minutes, he was wagging his tail.
For sure.
Right back to life.
I hunted him the next day.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to give him a break every now and then. These ducks weren't going anywhere.
No.
But, I mean, he'd come back with a duck, and he'd spin and line up on another one. Well, what am I supposed to do?
I know.
Besides not think.
Well, and the thing that I learned is, you know, probably should have gave him some food or had snacks or had something to pump him up a little bit, being that cold, and maybe picking up a couple ducks myself. Well, just whatever. Like I definitely learned from that experience.
I know a guy that...
The thing about it is, though, is... And this has been tried and true, tested. If you feed a dog before you go hunting, he doesn't have time to assimilate that.
That's correct.
To get the calories to burn.
Yeah. That's right. It's not. You can't do it before.
And you can have the risk of a twisted stomach.
Yeah, you get a torsion.
Yeah.
And that's a whole new ball game.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know a guy that hunts a lot in cold climate, and he always runs two dogs. And
I get it.
Well, understandably, but what he brings out with him is the pouches of cat food, you know, with the wet, you know.
Yeah, right in their system, kind of.
Yeah, so it's high protein and it's easily digestible.
He
just tears it up, squeezes it into the dog, and they, you know, he said.
It's like a protein bar.
It is.
Yeah. Dogs aren't like people. Dogs burn fat for energy.
Yeah.
People burn carbs.
Yeah.
They
need fat.
That's why all the fat goes.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah. They need it. Right.
But you often thought about getting, you know, this suet and cutting off chunks of it for them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you just got to pay attention. So, I mean, if it's never happened to you, you know, read up on it if you're hunting in cold climate, because it is.
Exactly.
It is for real. There's no doubt. It scares the shit out of you.
Five figures.
Yeah.
Well, without
or it doesn't matter if it's without the $2 dog.
Without the dollar figure, you have a
responsibility.
Yeah, and it's a part of you.
Yeah.
You know,
because they won't say, hey,
no, I'm tired, I can't do it anymore.
I can't do it. Like they're not going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. You go get that one. So they won't quit for sure.
They won't quit.
Yeah.
Well, they got heart.
They got it all. There's no doubt. Well, awesome. Well, listen, that was great stuff on dogs. Pat, thanks for having us down here. Like this is,
welcome.
I'm tickled.
It's been fun. It's been tough.
Listen, I could care less.
Yeah. This morning,
have I shot enough ducks in my life?
Yes.
I could care less. I'm here for all this and being here and seeing this and like literally just the experience of being
taking
here.
It all in.
Yeah, because man,
and your first Arkansas duck was a greenhead.
Like, yeah. What else is it going to be?
That's right. We let you shoot him all by yourself.
You put me right in the seat, so I'm all about it. Like, I'm here for it. So,
but you remember what I said when you killed it? When I called you up on it, I said, kill that greenhead, and I said if it had been a hen, I wouldn't have called you.
Well, of course. Of course,
the light was bad, but I made it when it made that hook to my end.
I'm here for it all. I'm here for the hunting and the fun and the everything about it and the dogs and the whole deal and just
it's amazing.
Experience it here. Because listen, everybody's got a piece of heaven wherever they're at, and everything is different no matter what. Like this morning, you know, going out to the big blind and doing that. I mean, everything is different here. So I'm here for it. Just like going to California or going to Canada or going to Missouri. Like, it's all different. I'm here for it.
We were on an expensive piece of property, too.
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take that invite anytime I can get it.
And Chris and those guys,
those guys are great.
They're super.
And what's his place, is do they have a name for that club or what do they have that?
It's part of the O'Sullivan's Duck Club.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they've got a name for it. And I can't remember what it is.
For the blind?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard
they
that.
They killed 1,700 ducks out of that blind this year.
We killed the 1,800th duck today.
We did get number 18.
Yeah. Yep. We hit the number for them. That's what I came down here for.
1,800.
Yeah. They should be handing out tequila bottles, 1,800 over there.
And for all you people that think, God, we could have another hour on duck bands, but for all you people that think it's not worth shooting a duck unless it's got a band on it, they have killed 5 banded ducks out of that.
They have hit them pretty hard. So
yes. Three teal and 2 greenheads.
Listen, the luck.
Greenhead.
The luck's with you.
Greenheads.
The luck is on you when that happens. So,
well, been lucky. That's all it is. Yeah. I've been lucky a long time.
Yeah, I'd rather be lucky than.
I need that horseshoe soon.
Reed's got it
now.
There you go.
Well, Patrick too. He got a good one the other day.
Yeah, we shot him.
All right, hit us up on the YouTube channel. Go subscribe. You want to see this stuff a lot more? You want to see any of the hunting videos in the last past series and the whole deal? Turkey season's coming soon. You go to The Last Strut. You go check that out. We're getting ramping up. We got snow goose episodes because it's about that time for guys chasing any of the snows. We got it all, so hit us up. Hit up our partners if you want to look at anything. Federal Ammunition, they got some new stuff coming. Of course, we'll get to the fall. They'll have new stuff. We were shooting some new ammo this morning that Dan had sent down to you guys. Some new Remington stuff since they own that. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, that duplex stuff.
Yeah,
the real duplex. Good.
So that was cool. So lots of stuff going on. Weatherby, they got, I mean, been shooting that Sorex for the past couple of years. That thing's the one I got is just a hammer. So I'm enjoying that. The Loophole guys and all the stuff they got going, and of course Roger Sporting Goods. If you need it, they got it. If they don't have it, you don't need it.
that's one way of putting it.
I mean, that's as easy as I can put it. So there it is.
Yeah.
And all that. So hit us up there. Go to the podcast and find us there, and whatever else you need to do. And I appreciate Pat, all you guys, and everything, the hospitality down here. So. Appreciate you guys checking us out. Hope you learned something. Hope you laughed. Hope you did something. So hit us up at fabrand.com. Thanks for checking it out.